we'll explore what makes Northern Italy different from the rest of the country from the perspective of two guides who live in the South coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves. And an American who spent 3 years researching every country in the eastern half of Europe tells us about his bumpy ride through the Balkans in just a bit. First, let's look at the impact that half a year in Eastern Europe had on one young American family. Jennifer Wilson returns to Travel with Rick Steves right now to look back on the experiment she and her husband tried out a few years ago. They moved with their two young children from Des Moines in Iowa to live as a family in the mountain village her great-grandparents came from in Croatia. Jennifer's book about their experience is called Running Away to Home, Our Family's Journey to Croatia in Search of Who We Are, Where We Came From, and What Really Matters. Jennifer, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, you took your kids out of beautiful, privileged American lives, away from all their soccer practice and ballet lessons, and plopped them in the middle of nowhere in Croatia, where nobody even spoke English. What kind of a mother are you?
That's a good question. I think they asked me that the first time I suggested that they go. You know, for me, it seemed like we lived in a pretty privileged place, and the kids would be very comfortable in Iowa. But it's not necessarily informing them what the rest of the world is like when they're in a place where everybody looks like them and speaks like them, and they're always comfortable. And I also think we spend a lot of time calibrating what we want in our marriage and what we want from our jobs. We don't spend enough time deciding what we want to be as a family. And so my husband Jim and I decided that we wanted to go to a quiet place and think about that together. And at about that same time, my great-great-aunt had passed away, and before she died, she wrote her own autobiography and said that our family was from a little village in Croatia called Merkopi, and just got me thinking, wouldn't it be great to go back and start again there?
Wow, so you took the gang there. Tell us, just set up the situation. What was the village like? What were the people like? How were you received?
You know, the village is quite small. They say there's 800 people living there, but I never saw 800 people when I was traveling there. It's really just sort of a two-road town, and it seems almost like it's been suspended in amber over the past 100 years since my great-grandparents left. There's still a lot of old ways. People still mow their lawns with a sling blade, and there's still cattle on the first floor of some people's houses. They live a lot from their yards, from the gardens, and harvesting fruit from the trees. It's just a very ancient way of life, and it's a very quiet way of life.
Now, you were there with two kids. Sam was 7 and Zadie, your daughter, was 4.
That's right.
Did other mothers support you? Did you have a circle of friends among mothers? Or what did people think of you just from a parenting point of view in the village?
You know, it was a little bit tough at first because everybody really liked Jim. He's a very outgoing Midwestern guy, and he would go off to the cafe bar and have a drink with the guys. And I was a little bit more stymied at the very beginning. I mean, I'm a very sort of organized, let's get things done type of mom, which was great for the planning process. But if you land in a little village in the middle of another country and you don't have to drive anybody to soccer practice and there's no doctor's appointments to make, I really had this sort of crisis of, who am I if I don't drive anybody around anymore? It took me a while to adjust to that. And it wasn't until the women started sort of tucking me under their wing, which happened after I did sort of the universal signal of friendship and I baked everybody a peach cobbler on my block. And all of the women kind of came out of the house and decided to start taking care of this poor lost American woman. And
so that was a coup. That was your way to get accepted with the villagers.
I wasn't going to be going to the bar with the guys every night, but boy, I could bake a peach cobbler, and that's pretty much all I could make.
Talk about that, the sort of the social difference between the guys hanging out at the bar, I would imagine, and the women. Was it divided? What was it like?
Yeah, it was divided for the generations. Like for my generation, I'm 42 and older, the women just didn't really go to the bar. They stayed home. They took care of the house. They were the ones in the garden and washing the cars and going to the jobs, you know, multiple jobs every day. And the guys would meet and talk at the bar for coffee in the morning and for a beer at night. But the younger generation, it's different. This is, you know, I'm talking just this particular village. The younger generation, everybody kind of hung out together in the bar at night. So it worked out more equally there.
What's your take on the situation for older people? Did it sort of offend you?
You know, it was tough for me at first. As a feminist, walking into town and saying, okay, so she's out in the garden working all day and you've been sitting in the front yard with a beer, that rubbed me wrong at first. But then I just realized, you know, it's not really for me to say. It was how it was. And I focused more of my energy just trying to get to know the women, and that meant weeding the garden along with them. They had their own coffee klatch in the morning where you'd do a clear shot of rakia, and then you'd have your coffee, and that was when we'd do our chatting.
Who was happier among the villagers, the men or the women?
That's a great question. I would say the women, hands down. Everybody feels better when they're working and they know what they're doing with their lives. And I felt like there was almost a sense of loss since the Balkan Wars. It's what I saw sort of as a parallel between the village itself and my own country. You know, Croatia was free. It could have anything it wanted now. Now, what are they going to do with all of that? And the women just kept doing what they were doing, which was working all the time. And the men were kind of thinking about it.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Jennifer Wilson. And Jennifer did a creative and courageous and very impressive thing. Picked her family up from Des Moines, Iowa, and moved them to a humble little village in the hinterlands of Croatia. She wrote about this adventure in her book, Running Away to Home. I understand we've got your daughter on the phone. You're going around the country right now and talking up your book, and your daughter's back at home and ready to get in on the conversation, right?
That's right.
Zadie, are you there?
Yes.
How old are you, Zadie?
7.5.
7.5. And tell us, what do you remember about Croatia?
I remember that there were 3 girls, and every single day I would get on to the oldest girl's bike, and I would ride up front, and she would ride, and we would go to the store, and we would get popsicles, and we would come back and eat them.
And how did you talk to her? Because did she speak English?
Yes.
I understand that you're kind of a picky eater. What did you eat in Croatia?
Our friends from back home would send us macaroni and cheese and spaghetti, and that's all I would eat.
But what about if that didn't come and you had to eat or you'd go starving? Was there anything you could eat in the village? Did you like the bread?
The second only thing I would eat was probably pigs and sheep.
You ate the pigs and the sheep?
Yes.
Sadie, did you think that those kids in the village were much different than other kids?
In some ways, in some ways not.
Okay, how were they different?
Well, they would speak a different language.
And how were they the same?
They all played the same games.
Well, that's great. Are you ever going to go back?
I want to.
Zadie, what was your favorite afternoon snack that you and Sammy used to go over with the girls to the škola to eat?
We would climb the trees and pick apples.
Well, Zadie, I'm glad that you had that experience, and thanks for sharing some of what you remember with all of us, okay?
Okay.
Hey, do you know a single Croatian word? Do you know how to say goodbye or hello or anything?
I know how to say apple.
How do you say apple?
Jabuka.
Jabuka. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Zadie.
Bye.
Now when you're back, you've been back for a couple of years, and you look back on it, what are the lasting consequences? What are the upside, and is there a downside?
You know, the upside for us, I think, is that there's a connection between us that is what we went there for. There was a moment at the beginning when we first got to the village, and I have to say that I sort of doubted myself. You know, when you first asked at the beginning of the interview, what kind of mother does this? You know, don't think that wasn't running through my mind every day for the first few weeks, especially when Sam was homesick a lot. And there was one night about 2 weeks in, and I was just exhausted, and he was exhausted, and he was crying. He missed the dog, and he missed his grandparents, and he missed his friends. And I don't know where it came from within me, but I started talking to him, saying, you know, wherever we go, if the four of us are together and we're loving each other, that's home. It's not about where we are, just the same way that God is not a church. Home is where your family is and you're loved. And I think I was saying that just as much to myself as I was to him. But from that time on, Sam and I and the, you know, all four of us, I think really have taken that to heart. And that's a connection that I don't think as we're growing older as a family together that we're going to lose that.
Did you pick up wisdom just from the villagers in any ways?
You know, I did. And it was through things that they didn't even mean to teach us. There were things that they meant to teach us. The women meant to teach me how to knit with 5 needles and how to make sarma. They, you know, meant to teach Jim how to build his own spit. But the thing that I learned the most was, you know, I met family members that I never knew I had, and I spent an afternoon with them, and it was a moving experience. But it was nothing like living next door to these complete strangers for 4 months who really took care of us in every way. You know, they took care of us emotionally and spiritually and physically, bringing us vegetables from their garden to make sure we had fresh produce because we weren't there early enough to plant our own. They taught us that family is about who you love. And now it feels like we have family in this little mountain village across the world, in this place that 3 years ago we didn't even know existed.
When you said goodbye finally, what was that like?
You know, the going away party that we had there, it was an official party that, you know, they slaughtered a few sheep. We sat at this long harvest table, and always when you're gathered with Croatians, they're going to bring out a musical instrument and start singing. And that's when the party meant the most to all of us in my family. I mean, we heard all of the village songs again, and it was, we were part of it. You know, we were part of everything.
You were part of the fabric of that village, and
that's
then you were
right.
leaving. So
that's
you're still
right.
part of it. They remember you.
That's right. And they're always wondering when we're going to come back. And, you know, it's a great question because, you know, it takes a lot to get 4 people to a tiny mountain village in Croatia.
I would imagine you're gonna do it. Jennifer Wilson, so fascinating, so fun, such an inspiration to talk to you about giving our kids a broader view on the world and having the courage to actually make that happen. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's an honor to be here.
You can listen to Jennifer's earlier interviews about living in Croatia with her family in our radio archives. Search Behind the Radio tab at ricksteves.com. Let's delve deeper now into Croatia and its neighbors in the Balkans next with long-term traveler Francis Tapon. We're at 877-333-RICK or by email it's radio@ricksteves.com. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.